Good afternoon, everybody. My name's Mark. I'm Youth and Families Minister here at Holy Trinity, and happy Christmas for tomorrow. Happy Christmas for tomorrow. Exciting time of year. And one of the best things about Christmas for me is Christmas trees. We've got a huge Christmas tree, haven't we, here at Holy Trinity Church. And usually the first weekend in December, we get our Christmas tree ready. So we go down into the cellar and we bring it up. Bit controversial. We've got a fake Christmas tree. I know. You don't get that nice kind of piney smell. And you can tell it's not real. But it saves us quite a lot of money. And it's brilliant because it doesn't shed pine needles. Those are my favourite things about it. So we've got a fake Christmas tree. Anyway, we put the Christmas music on and we put some baubles on the tree and some tinsel and some fairy lights, and it's great. It brings us joy. It's a family tradition. Christmas trees bring joy. But the great news is there's a much better Christmas tree than this kind of Christmas tree. In fact, the Bible reading we had a few moments ago was all about it, but you might have missed it. So let's have a look at the first verse once again, back up on the screen. Matthew, who wrote the book in the Bible called Matthew, begins his account of the very first Christmas with these words. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah. Now that word, genealogy, means family tree. Let's all say family tree. You see, the Christmas tree in the Bible is a family tree. It's not this kind of Christmas tree. It's a family tree. Jesus's family tree. It's a list of his ancestors, the people he's related to. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, hold on, Mark. Why are you so excited about a family tree? I mean, come on. It's just a long list of names, and some of those names were quite complicated, which, as Paul said, that's why we gave the reading to the vicar, to get the professional in, to kind of read out some of those names. But, you know, Christmas trees maybe, but family trees, you know, Mark, maybe you need to get out more. Come on, they're a bit boring, aren't they? Well, if that's you this afternoon, I hear you. There are parts of the Bible that, you know, appear much more exciting than family trees that we could have read this afternoon. But if we truly understand what Matthew is saying through Jesus' family tree, if we truly understand it and accept it, accept what God is offering through Jesus' family tree, it will blow our minds. It'll absolutely blow our minds. So what do we need to know? Well, there are four things we need to know about the family tree of Jesus. And the first thing is this. It all begins with Abraham. Have a look at verse 2. Matthew says, Abraham was the father of Isaac. Now, at great expense, we have Abraham with us this afternoon. So please, put your hands together for Abraham.
You have faith like Abraham.
It's Abraham, everybody! Woo! Welcome, Abraham. Great to see you. You doing all right? He's doing all right! That's great. Now, obviously, this isn't the real Abraham. But... Now, I'm not having any of that. Abraham was a very important person in the Old Testament part of the Bible. That's the bit before Jesus came as a baby. And God made some really big promises to Abraham. And this is one of God's promises. We'll pop it up on the screen. God said to Abraham, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Now, if you just move over a bit, Abraham, I'm just going to pick up this baby, because God said, through Abraham's offspring, that means children or a child, all nations on earth are going to be blessed. Now, do you want to put your thumbs up? Like this. I want to see some thumbs, everybody. Because blessing in the Bible is a good thing. It's when God does good to people, when God gives good things. All nations are going to be blessed through a baby, through a child who's going to be descended from Abraham. Just file that away for now at the back of your mind. I'll pop the baby back in here. There we go. Now, Abraham, could you pass me, please, what is in your bag? Let's have a look. Okay, here we go. What is it in here? I'll give you that back, Abraham. It's a giant bauble! I don't think we realise how amazing this bauble is. It's a giant bauble! Of a globe. Now, I'm going to pop this on our tree over here, because Matthew begins his family tree with Abraham. So we're going to begin our Christmas tree with Abraham, who was promised a baby, a child, who was going to bless the whole wide world. So, there we go. But there is somebody else we need to notice who's in Jesus's family tree. And this time it's King David. Can we all say King David?
King David.
Let's put verse 6 up on the screen. Here we go. Jesse was the father of King David. And once again, at great expense, we've got another special guest with us this afternoon. Please put your hands together for King David! Incredible, isn't it? What an amazing time we're having tonight. We've got Abraham, we've got King David. Obviously, it's not the real King David. But the actual King David was the greatest of all the kings of God's people in the Old Testament. Can we say greatest?
Greatest.
He was the greatest. And that's one of the reasons why Matthew called him King David, by the way. There's loads of other kings in that reading Paul read to us earlier, who were also kings, but they don't get called kings because David was so much greater than all the rest. So David was the greatest king. And just like God made promises to Abraham, God made promises to David too. We're going to pop it up on the screen. Here we go. Here's God's promise to David. I will raise up for you your offspring to succeed you, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So once again, we've got that word offspring, haven't we? David is also promised a child. And this time it's going to be a child who's going to reign on the throne forever and ever. So once again, just file that away at the back of your mind for now. David's also promised a baby. This time it's a baby who's going to reign forever. Brilliant. Can I have your crown, please, King David? Here we go. Let's put King David's crown up on the tree. Let's pop it over here somewhere. There we go. So we've got a globe, because Abraham was promised a child who's going to bless the whole wide world. And we've got a crown, because David was promised a child who's going to reign forever. Okay, so Jesus' family tree. Abraham's going to have a child who's going to bless the whole world. And Abraham has kids who has kids who has kids. Eventually David comes along. David's going to have a child who's going to reign on the throne forever. Well, David had children who had children who had children, and that went on for a bit until we come to an event. Now, this event is called the exile. Have a look at verse 11. We'll pop it up on the screen. Matthew says, Josiah was the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. Now, over here, I've got a very big X. Here we go. Because that word, exile, begins with this sound, doesn't it? Can we all say X?
X.
Okay, we've got a big sign that says X. And it's a big sign because the exile must have been a very big event, because it's the only event that Matthew talks about in Jesus' family tree, apart from babies being born. The exile is the only thing he mentions. So what is it all about? What is the exile? Well, let me try to explain. After King David died, sadly, God's people stopped listening to God. And they ignored God and they disobeyed him, which means they were banished. They were sent away to another place. They were sent to Babylon. And I'm going to come and stand over here by the X. They were sent from their homeland. Look, there's David's throne over there. That's back in Israel. They've been sent away, banished from God, from the land. And now they're away from home and they're under God's judgment. And it's really sad. And it's really serious. But verse 12 does give us some hope. Let's have a look at verse 12. It begins with these words: after the exile to Babylon. So God's people did go back to Jerusalem, but sadly, life was never as good as it used to be. It was never as good as it was when David was the king, because he was the greatest. And for years, God's people lived under the shadow of the exile. Can we all say exile? They lived under the shadow of the big X. They lived under the shadow of God's judgment. Very sad, very serious, and also very relevant. Can we all say relevant?
Relevant.
It's relevant because if we're honest, we will all admit that we are just like God's people, aren't we? And we ignore God. We don't listen to him. We disobey him. And so we stand over here, don't we, with God's people in exile, sent away from God, banished under his judgment. Now, that's a really hard thing to hear and a really hard thing to accept. But unless we hear it and unless we accept it, we'll never see the beauty of the Christmas tree. We'll never see the joy of Jesus's family tree, because finally, who is the Christmas tree all about? Who is the Christmas tree all about?
Jesus!
Absolutely right. Verse 16. It's all about Jesus. Verse 16. Matthew says, Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of
Jesus,
who is called the Messiah. Now, I've got a crown over here. Here we go. Because that word Messiah means king. And I'm going to pop it over the throne over here. Because the great news is, the throne is not empty anymore. Because the Messiah, the king, has come. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Matthew says in verse 1, Jesus is the son of David. That child who was promised who'd reign forever, well, he's finally arrived, because Jesus has arrived. But he's not just the son of David, although that's amazing. Can we all say amazing?
Amazing.
Although it's amazing that he is the son of David, Matthew also tells us in verse 1, Jesus is also the son of Abraham. Remember the globe? The child who would bring blessing to all nations. Well, Jesus is that child who's finally come, because the child grew up and became a man, and he stood in our place. When he was a man, he died on another tree, not a Christmas tree, but a cross. And Matthew tells us later on in his book that as Jesus died on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, Jesus was banished. He took our exile. He was sent away from God. He took God's judgment. before being raised to life again to be the king who reigns forever. And he did all of that so that when we trust Jesus, when we believe in Jesus, when we turn to him in our hearts as the everlasting king, the one who took our exile, then we come out from the shadow of exile, just like I've walked over here. We come out from the shadow of God's judgment and enjoy God's blessing. Let's see those thumbs up again. We enjoy God's blessing through Jesus, not least forgiveness for the way we've treated God and life with God forever. That's why Jesus' family tree totally blows my mind. God's promises, God's plans fulfilled in Jesus. Now, this is the most technical part of the talk so far. I'm going to try and get a J to the top of the Christmas tree. If it makes it, I want a big cheer, okay? A big cheer. Here we go. We made it! The whole point of the family tree, Jesus' family tree, is that actually it points us to Jesus. He's the pinnacle. He's the high point. The family tree is all about who he is. So, I hope you have a brilliant Christmas. I hope you have a really joyful one. I hope your Christmas tree brings you joy, even if it sheds a few pine needles here and there as well. But God's invitation to us this Christmas is to find joy in the Christmas tree, Jesus' family tree. Or better than that, God's invitation to us this Christmas is to know the joy that comes from trusting the one who the Christmas tree is all about. David's child, who reigns forever, Abraham's son, who can bless the whole world because of his death.